This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Take Off with John Clark, presented by Rivers Casino, and it is finally here, the start of the Philly season with World Series expectations. Let's bring in the man, former Phillies general manager and the Phillies analyst, not only on the games, but in the pre and post games, Ruben Amaro Jr. Good to see you.
Good to see you, JC. What's happening, buddy?
Oh, can't wait. Well, you know, you get down to spring training in early February, and then it kind of, you're like, okay, when are we finally going to get this ball club up to Philly? So give us an idea here in Philly, what you are seeing with this Phillies team.
Well, it's a ball club, I think, that was fairly well set. I mean, obviously, with the final moves that they've made, having Taijuan Walker go down and Orion Kirkring not able to perform quite yet. There are a couple of moves that had to be made, and I'm not surprised at all that Yoan Rojas is going to be the starting center fielder. He's working on some things, and like the numbers, I don't really get all caught up in the numbers. To me, it's about the at-bats and making sure guys see pitches and sort of getting their sea legs underneath them. They did not have a great performance spring training. That said, I think that this team's ready to go, and it's a veteran team. They're going to be a contending team, and I think it's going to be an exciting season for the Philly fans.
Give me an idea. If you were the general manager, Yoan Rojas, they told him, hey, relax. You just need to concentrate on your defense, improve some of your hitting, maybe a few of the mechanics. But he only hit 170 this spring, so he didn't really show them what they wanted to see. But they're using words like, we just want to make sure he doesn't get buried. So are they going to give him every single chance to succeed here?
I would think so. I mean, you have to remember, this guy hit over 300. He had in limited playing time during the course of the regular season last year, and he hit 300 in AA last year. So, he did have some success. Now, I know it was people like to focus on the fact that he struggled in during the course of the postseason, but so did the rest of the guys who were making $20, $30, $40 million. So really, honestly, it's one of those ball clubs. I feel like in a lot of ways, his defense is way more important for this club than his offense. Yes, he does. It's important for him to contribute in certain ways with his legs and the ability to bunt and to get on base at times for Kyle Schwarber, who's going to be hitting at the top of the lineup. That said, the burden isn't really not on him. The offensive burden should be on the first six or seven guys in that lineup.
Is there a little concern they don't have that lefty bat off the bench with the trade of Jake Cave? And, if Yoan is playing 5 days a week in center field, maybe Whit Merrifield gets a couple days there. Rob Thompson even talked about Brandon Marsh maybe being a lefty bat off the bench a few days here and there. How do you think that's all going to shake out? And is there a concern they don't have that lefty bat off the bench?
I don't think it's as big of a concern as it would have been maybe 5 or 6 years ago when there wasn't a universal DH. You're not really going to pinch it for a whole lot of players on this team. Rob Thompson basically admitted that if he was going to pinch hit, and one of the reasons why Jake Cave was traded, if he's going to pinch hit a guy in a certain situation, it probably would have been Whit Merrifield, even though it might have been a right-hander that he was going to face. So rather than Jake Cave, because he probably would trust Whit Merrifield more in those types of situations. So I don't think it's not as important a piece. I think it's a luxury to have somebody to swing the bat off from the left side. But the way that this this lineup is structured and the way this team is structured, it's not as important an element as would be perhaps a solid defender or someone of that nature.
Give me a guy, since you've been down there at spring training, you've been watching all the games, doing a great job on the NBC Sports Philadelphia broadcast. Give me a guy that you think could have a breakout year.
Well, I really do believe that the second half was more of Trey Turner's season, was more indicative of what he's going to be. I do believe that he's going to play to the to an MVP level this year, and he's sort of one of my front runners. I know that Bryce Harper, obviously being there for hopefully 162 games, will make him a contender as well. But the guy that I feel like is going to take the very next step, I think, was going to be Bryson Stott. I love the way he plays the game. I think he's got a lot more in the tank offensively. He's a very good hitter. He's a good baseball player, and I just think that he's going to take the next step forward. I view him as a guy that at some point is going to be a perennial all-star.
So Bryson Stott, breakout player, and you mentioned Trey Turner there. How much more comfortable does he seem, knowing all of his surroundings, knowing everybody this year? Because we all kind of forget he joined the Phillies and then jumped into the WBC last year. And so he really didn't get that time to get to know everybody.
Yeah, I think he's a lot more just comfortable in his own uniform now. That's number one. And number two, one of the things that mostly impressed me about him was that he really addressed the fact that he did not play a very good shortstop last year. He was rated one of the worst shortstops in all of baseball. I don't think that he is one of the worst ones, and neither does he. He may not be one of the best, but he also should be a much better defensive player. And he worked his tail off to get better and better. And I just watch his mechanics, and I've watched him play a lot of shortstop this spring, and I love what I see. He is, sort of back to the basics. Bobby Dickerson and then Larry Bowe working with him pretty much every single day on the backfield and the small field. It's been really impressive to watch him go to work. Hopefully that can translate into this regular season, because I love what I see.
Yeah, and I think some people forget a little bit that Trey Turner is one of the best players in baseball, and he can do it all. So you kind of mentioned MVP talk. If you were to pick one, a favorite on the Phillies for MVP, would you take Trey over Bryce Harper in this spot this year?
It's hard to say. When you have a healthy Bryce Harper, he's probably one of the top three or four or five players in all of baseball. I just think that Trey Turner, with his speed and some of the other things that he can do on the field, the fact that he's playing in the middle of the diamond, I'll give him a slight nod over him. But you can never rule out what Bryce Harper might be able to do. I think the fact that Bryce is changing, full-time first base, I think that may have a little bit of a toll on him physically, because it's just going to be a different, setting for him on a daily basis. That said, I view those guys as top 10 players in baseball, and either one of them could come up with an MVP year.
Do you really get a sense that this team is in a good spot compared to last year, because you've got those guys that are a little more comfortable now? The WBC isn't there. Bryce Harper's healthy from the get-go this year. That maybe they can come out of the gate a little faster this year compared to the last couple years?
Well, not just to Bryce Harper. I mean, to me, it's Ranger Suarez who's much more healthy. You've got, you got Wheeler who's healthier as well. I mean, you've got basically your top three guys in your rotation. And I think you can match up those top three with any top three in all of baseball right now, as far as, performance and ability. And the fact that those three guys are coming out on all cylinders, that's huge for the Phillies. Obviously having Bryce Harper for 162 rather than, half the year or two thirds of the year, that's pretty different. And that's a major thing. I just do believe that this team's poised to be a contending team, perhaps an NL East winner. And the fact that those three guys at the top of the rotation are ready to go, I think that's a big factor.
And Ruben, I'm so delighted to hear the way Zach Wheeler is talking down there, because, obviously the contract was taken care of, and that kind of puts him at ease about where he's going to be and everything for him and his family. But I love how he talked about his new pitch and that he's been working on it for the last year, but now he is ready to unleash it on baseball. And he also said, hopefully that pitch will get me over the hump to win the Cy Young Award. Do you love what you're hearing from Zach Wheeler?
I love everything about Zach Wheeler. I had a chance to be with him in New York when he was sort of really burst onto the scene as far as becoming one of the better pitchers in the game that second half in 2018. He was maybe one of the best pitchers in baseball. No disrespect to Jacob DeGrom at that time, because he did win the Cy Young that year, but I will tell you, pitch for pitch, I mean, Zach Wheeler was really, really dominant that season. Now, And he's been outstanding for the Phillies. I do believe that he should have won the 2021 Cy Young Award. I think he's got a little chip on his shoulder over that, and he probably should, because I do believe that he was a clear-cut winner. I know Corbin, no disrespect to Corbin Burnes, but it was almost like he pitched a whole month more of baseball when you look at the numbers. And so I think he's got a little bit of chip on his shoulder about that. But I think, yes, the Cy Young is important to him. But I don't think that's the most important. I think he'd rather be pitching in the World Series and winning Game One of that World Series, and hopefully holding a trophy at the end of the day. I love the way he goes about his business. I love the fact that he's got that one pitch working. I got a chance to call that his last game and watched his split really, really work. It's an exciting pitch, and anytime you have a pitcher with this kind of ability, add this kind of quality pitch, it'll make for a tough day for the NL East or for the NL hitters.
Hey, celebrity cook Steve Martorano is bringing his Italian-American cooking back home to Philly, where it started. Enjoy Martorano's Prime at Rivers Casino and Steve's famous meatballs with Sunday gravy, prime steaks, and more. So make reservations for Martorano's Prime on Open Table. I've been to the one in Fort Lauderdale. I'm glad it's back in Philly. And you talked about the Phillies possibly winning the division. I loved what JT Realmuto said. He's tired of seeing the Braves win the division. But we have seen in baseball, Ruben, that these teams that win over 100 games and then they get that little time off after the regular season, something happens, and they're not the teams that are advancing far. So do you think it is really necessary for the Phillies to win the division, or do you think it's good that they're fighting towards the end of the season to get in?
Well, I think fighting to get into it, I think, is important, because you're usually typically, when you're fighting and getting in, you're playing your best baseball. I think it would be great for the fans, I think for the franchise, to be able to win the division and be able to play games at home. Because I think there's a great advantage of being able to do that, and having as good a record as they possibly can will put them in a position to be able to do that, probably more likely. And so I think that's the most important piece of that. That said, I don't think it's all that necessary for them to win the NL East, for them to be a world champion. I think it's more about, playing their best baseball at that time, and in the hopes that when they get to that tournament at the end, that they're playing, solid baseball and can get over the hump to win a World Series.
We were talking about Trey Turner, and obviously these Phillies, they probably could have three leadoff hitters. And Schwarber was in the lineup as the leadoff hitter, final spring game. Do you think Kyle Schwarber will be the leadoff hitter once again?
I certainly do, John. And really, when you start thinking about the numbers and seeing how this team has performed with him in a leadoff spot. I mean, they've won more games than anybody with him in his leadoff spot than anybody else being in that leadoff spot. Ideally, I think for me personally, I probably would have Trey Turner or Bryson Stott in that slot. But with the way this team sets up, I think, it's worked very well for him to lead off. He's a very dangerous hitter at the top of the lineup. If he can create a lead early in this game, with the way the pitching is for the Phillies, the way their staff is, I think that's a plus. And until that formula doesn't work anymore, I think that Rob Thompson's going to stay with it.
So give me your ideal lineup, though, because you love the speed of Trey Turner at the top. Who would you have after Trey there in the two-hole?
Well, I would probably go left-right. I mean, obviously, Trey, and then probably Stott, and then Harper, but if you really wanted to go left, right, you go with Stott and then Trey and then Harper to line it up. We had that a couple of days ago in this lineup. That said, I think that the way things are set up, I think that Rob Thompson's going to stay with Schwarber in that one hole. And I have a feeling that it's until something breaks and still something goes awry, that's how it's going to stay.
And really, as we see one of your friends there, and one of the friends of the Fanatic walk by.
That's right.
A little pop in there. You talked about the numbers. Kyle Schwarber's season last year, I saw Jason Stark's article. Really, it's one of the weirdest and wildest seasons in baseball history. Top two in home runs, but top two in strikeouts, but top two in walks. So with that, do you just go, like you said, with whatever works, and they win with Kyle Schwarber in that leadoff spot?
That's what I would do if I was a manager. I mean, why change? If it's not broke, why fix it? And I think that that's exactly what you're going to see. I do believe that Kyle was wanting to work on and did work on trying to make more consistent contact, not striking out as much, being able to utilize the entire field. He pulled the ball far too much last year. I know that's part of his shtick and part of his success is to hit the ball out of the ballpark on the pull side. But he is and was coming out of college out of the University of Indiana. I mean, he was a guy at Indiana University. He was a pretty darn good all around hitter. And I think that it would do him well to utilize a little bit more of the field. And I think that's something that he was working on as were others. So I would hope that he'd be hitting somewhere in the 30 or 240 range with that kind of power. If he does that, then his numbers are going to be, you know, bang off the page. And I fully expect him to be closer to a, you know, 240 to 250 hitter than he would the, you know, a 190 or 200 hitter.
What are you seeing with some of the other guys? You got JT Realmuto, who really worked on his swing in the offseason, and he's in tremendous shape. Alec Bohm, I think he's a guy that really could have a breakout year, just like Bryson Stott. What are you seeing from some of the other guys in the lineup? And Nick Castellanos coming back after working on some things.
Yeah, I think JT Realmuto is really a key to this ball club in a lot of ways. One, you really need somebody to protect Bryce Harper in that lineup, and it's important for somebody from the right side to be able to do that consistently. What I do like and what I've seen from JT is he sort of shortened up that and made it a much shorter leg kick. I think it's helped his timing, helps, you know, minimize some of the movement and have a little bit more margin for error as far as timing is concerned. I like the way he's swinging the bat. He hit a home run at the end here just today. He's just a much better offensive performer than he was last year. I think it was an off year for him. And I think that he's poised to bounce back. As far as Alec Bohm, let's talk about Alec Bohm. One of the best hitters they had with men in scoring position, and anywhere that he can be in the lineup where he's driving in runs, he drove in, 97 of them last year with just 20 home runs. I think you're going to see some of that home run number move a little bit. You may see him have another 100 RBI season, which I think he is very capable of. I think he's more and more confident as he's gone. And, you know, you could just tell that some of these guys, Bryson Stott and Alec Bohm in particular, are guys, and even Brandon Marsh, they're confident in their abilities. They're feeling much more comfortable in their own skin. They believe in themselves as major league players and performers. And I think you're going to see that come to light during the course of this season.
And defensively, in that outfield, with the way Johan Rojas plays center field and if Trey Turner's improved, what should we expect from the defense this year behind the pitching staff?
Yeah, and that's something that Dave Nebraska talked about earlier today, is how important it was for when he took over. I mean, the defense wasn't all that great. And now, especially with as many balls that are hitting the air in today's game, it's important to be able to have people who can track them down. When you start lining up Johan Rojas in center and Brandon Marsh in left, and then Castellanos, who's much improved in right field, that's a pretty darn good outfield. And again, if Trey Turner continues to improve and continues to be the guy he's been this spring and carries that into this season, I think you're talking about a much better defensive team than it once was. There's a question about whether Alec Bohm could play third base every day, but he's really improved as well. A lot more confident. He's moving around extremely well. And again, I think a lot of it is confidence. It's feeling comfortable in their own skin. Bryson Stott is a Gold Glove caliber and probably has a chance to win a ton of Gold Gloves at second base. And so I think it's going to be a much improved defense overall.
And they keep talking about Bryce Harper with the way he works at things, that he could be a Gold Glover at first base.
Yeah, he's a very good athlete. I mean, he's a great athlete. He's a baseball player. He understands the game. You remember he started off as a catcher when he first got drafted and they moved him to the outfield. But, he has the ability to do a lot of things. He's a very, very athletic. He's worked very hard, at his craft. I think that just generally he will also make the infielders better. Anytime you have a good first baseman, it always makes the other infielder, shortstop, third base, second baseman, they always make them lots better. And I think that's what you're going to see out of Bryce.
So with the injury with Taijuan Walker and him starting on the injured list, a lot of Phillies fans are looking at the name Jordan Montgomery still out there. Would you go after Jordan Montgomery if you could get a Blake Snell type of deal?
I think it would be something that the Phillies would consider, but I think they're pretty comfortable where they are just because Taijuan Walker, I don't think it's going to be a long-term issue. I think that Turnbull is a guy that Spencer Turnbull is a guy. The reason why they signed him was because they wanted to create some depth. He's had a very good spring. He deserves an opportunity to take over at least for now. And they're hoping that Taijuan Walker bounces back and can pitch like the Taijuan Walker that we saw in mid-July when he started, you know, really throwing the ball with a much more authority. I don't think it's a serious injury. You have to be concerned about it because you just don't know how quickly he will bounce back, certainly. But as far as injuries are concerned, I think it seems minor at this time, and hopefully it's not something that lingers. And once we get him back, I think that'll create even more depth for this club.
Ruben, we look forward to seeing you on all the broadcasts at NBC Sports Philadelphia. A final couple quick questions before you got to run. Phillies, when they put this team together, you had some free agent additions, and then they make it to the World Series. Then they kind of realize, okay, we can be a World Series team. Then last year, it was all set up for them to go to the World Series, possibly win it all. And they really kind of collapsed at home, losing game 6 and game 7. Do you sense that this team collectively has that edge this year, kind of letting that opportunity slip away? Do you think there's that edge to this team this year?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't think they'd show it outwardly. I just know that they feel that they're a better team. And I'll be honest with you. I believe that was the best team in all of baseball in the Final Four at the end of the year last year. And then unfortunately, they sort of, as you said, I mean, they just couldn't make the adjustments that the D-backs were throwing at them at the last couple of games. But that said, I do believe this team believes in it themselves. I think that there's a bit of a chip on their shoulder. And, I think that they're going to do whatever it takes to try to get themselves back to the World Series and to finally pull one in.
And where would you rank the Phillies lineup, let's say, against the other National League teams?
I got to believe as far as their depth is concerned, I look at 1-7, 1-8, it's pretty darn deep. I mean, you start talking about Brandon Marsh hitting like in a 7 or 8 hole. I mean, this is a guy who actually had a heck of a year last year. It's going to be tough for some of those National League pitchers. I got to believe that maybe not as strong as the Braves, but pretty close. And I got to believe that I know that the Dodgers are probably one of the better, offensive teams, obviously with three possible MVP candidates in the top three in their lineup. But, beyond that, I think that they're definitely a top three. And I think that in a lot of categories, even in the pitching, starting pitching, for instance, I think they're top one or two as far as the entirety of their rotation. And I think, even MLB.com has thrown, Phillies as the number one bullpen because of the quality of the arms back there. So it's a real complete team. I know things aren't perfect after 162 games, but hopefully they can get a good start and get things rolling right out of the chute.
Yeah, and I know everybody wants to see that parade down Broad Street once again. Bryce Harper's talked about it, but kind of scares me, Ruben, if they would have to try to eliminate the Braves for a third straight year in the playoffs. That kind of scares
me. It's a great team, and they have to be favored. Atlanta has, talent for talent. You would pick the Braves to be the best team in baseball, maybe the Dodgers. But baseball's a funny game. You have to play the games, and you have to have to be healthy. And I think that's an important element here. It's really who's the healthiest and which team can play to their baseball cards. And if the Phillies do, they've got a heck of a chance to be a World Series champion.
All right, Ruben Amaro Jr., we appreciate your time. Welcome back to Philly. We're going to look forward to seeing you Thursday or possibly Friday. We don't know yet about the weather, but opening day is upon us. So we appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Enjoyed it. And can't wait to see you guys back in Philly. I'm so flagrant.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.